Good day, good ladies and gentlemen. We are upon a journey. Dost thou come with us upon this mighty adventure with Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil? I happen to be the one known as Lucas.
And I be Phil.
And today we have the mightiest, the veriest, the specialist of episodes in store for you.
Oh, that was pretty good.
This has been our best intro yet. Oh, now it went to piano.
What in the world is going on?
Welcome back once again to Second Breakfast, Lucas and Phil. We are glad that you are here. Phil, I have one important question for you.
Yes?
What's the best thing, well, second best thing you had to eat this week?
It was a Twix bar. No, I don't get candy very often, and Lucas has candy at his house, so I ate a Three Musketeers, a Snickers, and a Twix. And I gotta say, I love Snickers, but Twix really hit tonight.
Oh, good.
Because they were little bitty fun size.
Yes.
He's not, like, I didn't eat three full-size candy bars.
Yeah, I'm in a diabetic coma. This is a ticking time bomb.
No, it was good. It was good. There hasn't been anything really that interesting. I'm going to feel really bad if I get home and my wife says, well, did you tell him about this that we ate that I can't remember?
This thing that I cooked, it took me 6 hours
to make. No, she cooked that Greek chicken again, which is always amazing, but I've talked about that before.
And we can't talk about chicken tonight.
Can't talk about chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Yeah. So,
what about you, Lucas? The best thing you had to eat?
Yeah, so if you don't know, like we talked about last time, we are a transparent podcast. Why we're having difficulty is because we're recording these back to back.
Yeah.
So the episode you listened to 2 weeks ago, we're recording this right after that one. So anyway, yeah, that's why we're having such a hard time. So I mean, the pizza tonight was really tasty. I don't eat pizza actually all that often. So.
Yeah, all American pizza in OKC.
I do
and
have.
And they have gluten-free.
Can I give the most disappointing thing I had to eat this week?
Yes.
Okay, so we watched the OU game over here last week, and so
did Tori make it?
No, it was me.
Oh, okay,
my fault.
Good.
I'm the problem. It's me.
I was gonna say you and T Swifty.
So I bought a pork shoulder and got this all seasoned up. Threw it on the smoker at like 8:30 in the morning, thinking like, okay, it'll smoke for like 5 or 6 hours. I should get it up to temp, and I'll be able to pull it, and we'll be able to eat this.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So it's like
I love slow cooked.
Fast forward to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're all really hungry. So
6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours should be done. We are not. We're at like 175 degrees. Which, for those of you that don't smoke meats, you need about 20 to 30 more degrees before pulled pork is really going to be nice and tender. But I'm like,
yeah. And safe to eat.
No. Pork is safe to eat at 145.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's where I was like, we can go ahead and pull it and eat it, and it might not be quite as tender. And it was still pretty good, but no, not like pulled pork.
Oh,
you want to
like
pick it up and it just falls apart. And this was like, I was having to slice it. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. So that's the most. I have that experience with beef ribs almost every time. They're just a little too chewy for me almost every time I have beef ribs, but they're beef. You know, it's harder to get beef ribs tender than it is to get pork baby back ribs.
So,
tender.
Phil.
Apparently, because they're usually tough when I eat them.
Yeah, you gotta. That's where like good pork usually you have to cook way, way hotter than you think. Like I feel like beef and chicken, right? Like there's a pretty set temperature that you cook it to, no matter what. But pork is one like you have to go where you think it'd be overcooked.
Well, I only eat it. I don't cook it. My family has forbade.
Yeah.
Forbidden. They won't let me cook. They say, are you trying to play music now?
I was just going to bring it under you while you were talking.
No, they won't let me cook. Okay. I don't cook because it's bad. My kids came to me and said, Dad, no. And Mom's gone. We just eat out. You can't do this anymore. It's bad. So I don't cook. I just eat it. But I'm kind of an expert at eating. really, I do a really, really fine job.
Yes,
of practice.
Those Twix, no.
And I'm a little bit of a barbecue aficionado, a little bit. But but don't know how to cook it at all. So you're speaking my language as far as flavor and stuff like that. Yeah. But as far as how it gets there, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Okay. It's all a mystery to me. Well, it's like sorcery.
We don't have any. I don't have a draft prepared. I don't have a Gen Z word, but I had an idea. So I'm gonna put this music on a little bit. I don't know where it's going, but I feel like it's good for what I'm wanting to do. So Phil,
okay,
you're getting older.
Yeah.
Every day. And last episode as we were recording, it just came like you're an empty nester now.
I'm an empty nester.
Okay, so I just wanted to sit here and dream with you. You're like dream, because my thought is like maybe Phil and like y'all are looking for a car.
So, yeah, I want to need a car.
So I was thinking, what if we found...
For free. We need a free car.
Okay, what if we...
If anyone in our listener base...
Yeah, provide Phil with a car. But the dream right now for me, what I'm thinking for you...
you know what? We got a free... I got a free computer.
Hey.
Doing that.
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to trade... You were saying I could trade this free...
No, I need the free computer.
Okay.
But, you know, God works in mysterious ways. He provides. So
well, this... Maybe this dumb...
happen.
This dumb segment I'm about to have...
Okay, go ahead.
So, no,
I'm old... Our kids have left the house.
Yeah, so my thought is, what
watching
if you're...
Watching a lot of Netflix, too much Netflix.
Oh, this got too adventurous.
is adventurous being a
what if your next car, what if we got you like a big van and you could live in the back of the... It's just the two of you.
No.
No, Phil, hear me out. You could.
I thought you were going to say a Corvette.
No, you could drive to Brooklyn. You could drive down to Dallas. Like, you could go see your kids. If Katie,
it needs to be really big.
She's in Arkansas, right? Like, it's right there.
Knees. Even Bronwyn started to have trouble with her knees. I'm outing my wife's arthritis.
I don't think it's arthritis. New Zealand to see her family.
I don't think so, Lucas. I don't think it works that way. I don't think they have fairies.
I'm dreaming for you, right? It's like Chris Farley. South Pacific. Like, you want to live in a van down by the river.
I do not. I do not want to live in a van.
I don't know.
I am. You know what? I thought for a hot second when tiny homes became a thing, I thought, because I do have a little bit of the soul of a minimalist.
Just a little.
I want to get rid of all of our stuff. I love throwing stuff away. Oh, I love it. I love getting rid of stuff. My wife is the opposite. She's like, well, we might need that. You know, she's not a hoarder, but she's kind of just, you know, on the normal, sort of in the mid-range there. And I would love just to get rid of all the stuff, but I cannot do small spaces. Mm-hmm. I need more space. We have a kitchen. We live in a rent house right now. And it's a house from the 50s. The kitchen is small. And I curse it.
Were you going to say the makers? the architect?
The whole bunch of them, the whole lot of them. I'm just like, what were you thinking? It's terrible. I mean, literally, two adults cannot stand in that kitchen and make a taco. And it drives me nuts. So, no, I could not do a trailer.
This brings us to a van. It's different. This brings us to our topic of the day. Why we shouldn't curse people.
We should not curse. No. Did I say curse?
Yes, you did.
I meant question. I meant question their sanity. So, speaking of sanity... Speaking of questioning sanity, do you have a dad story or no?
I mean, just questioning my sanity.
Just questioning
your
sanity.
That's mostly, yeah.
Yeah, I have a third child now, and I have a new grandbaby.
Yeah.
And she's 2-3 weeks old.
Congratulations.
Right now.
I don't think we've recorded since then, so let the world
maybe
know.
Maybe we haven't, no.
Congratulations, no. Phil. Grandpappy again.
Yeah. Eden Anaya Grace Blunt was born on September 4th, my wife's birthday.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was a great birthday present. But we're very happy, thrilled.
So
we've already been down there once.
Olive and Eden, right?
Yes. Olive, Jubilee Joy, and then Eden Anaya Grace.
That's so
and
sweet.
Grace was kind of sweet. Grace is the middle name of both of the girls' aunts. My daughter Katie is Katie Grace, and Ashton's sister Kelsey is Kelsey Grace.
Oh, that's super
so
sweet.
They used Grace in honor of her aunties, as they
It is also awesome. Funny, just kind of, because you have all of Jubilee. My second born is Jubilee.
Yeah.
And Jubilee is Jubilee Nan, and Nan means grace.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, just funny.
Yeah. So, a lot of connections there. A lot of connections there. But I don't remember what Anaya. Anaya, I think, means the same thing as Samuel, which is God has heard.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, which is, that's Eden's dad, is Samuel, my son.
Yeah.
So, So we were going to talk about teaching school, because I don't know how many of you know, have caught up to this point in the podcast. We're at the end of September 2023 here, and Lucas has made a change in his vocation from youth minister and pastor and Mission OKC all around
guy
and has really made a pretty logical transition to teaching middle school
math.
Now the math part, I don't know. Do you know anything about math, Lucas?
I know more today than I did at the beginning of the school year. So, I don't know how many of my kids listen, but here's the deal, right? Usually I learn the math that I'm going to teach about a week before I teach it. So every weekend I bring home, I have this pink binder for my girls, right? But I have it filled with all of my lessons for the next week, and I go over them. And I try to get as far ahead as possible, and so I stay about a week or two ahead of having these lesson plan. Like, but it's not really a lesson plan as much as it is like I'm literally doing the homework that they're going to do to make sure I know how to do it.
Yeah, well, I think all of us could use a refresher on sixth grade math.
Okay, so open up your binders. We're going to talk about multiplying whole numbers and fractions.
No, we're not. We're not going to talk about that. But what? Everybody say hi, Tori. Say hi, Tori. No, hi, you're Tori. Say hi. We don't have a name for our... What did we call our listeners? We came up with a name.
No,
for
them, we had a contest.
The Breckies. Actually... Say hi, Breckies.
Hi, Breckies.
Yeah, she just said hi to herself. Because she's the only one that listens. Anyway, you'll enjoy that, I'm sure, Tori. I don't know. I'm sure that people that listen know this. I was a school teacher for
many years.
About 9 years.
Many moons.
But I was a Bible teacher.
Yeah, I would say you were at a private school.
Primarily, it was a private school. You're at a charter school, which is a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
explain what a charter school is, because I don't know things.
Yeah, so basically, right, like, so I'm at Santa Fe South, so a charter school, it's still... like publicly funded, but it's not run by the school. Like, it's not an OKCPS school.
It's not a part of the school district. And how does that work?
So, it's even weirder that...
Do you have a board?
Yeah, so there's still a school board over a superintendent, and just the main difference between...
But it's not OKPS.
It's not OKCPS. Board. No, it's not the same. OKCPS. We have our own school board. We're our own school district. There's three high schools... two middle schools.
Okay, so all the charter schools are like a separate district.
No. This is just our charter district. There are charter schools within OKCPS, but they're different.
I'm learning so much, Lucas.
It's all different, but it is like the main deal, right, is that like for us, since our board is separate and stuff, OKCPS doesn't have their hands in. So like, for instance, right, we've never had a budget deficit at Santa Fe South.
Wow.
OKCPS. We can't say the same. Okay. And I'm not trying to throw any shade here. I'm just trying to, but ultimately, right, charter schools typically exist because of either failings or mishaps within the public schools, right?
And right. So
where I'm at, we're still inner city. We're a lottery-based charter school. So for all of you that are listening and I don't know, people that know more, and there's politicized things about this, so it can be controversial, but ultimately, like where charter schools get planted, typically test scores rise not just within the charter school, but within the surrounding public schools.
Yeah.
So we're a lottery-based charter school. Our kids basically enter the drawing to get in. We admit so many, and then the academic standards and things that we hold to are just at a higher level than public schools, especially since the No Child Left Behind Act and those.
But
things.
The math teachers don't actually. Have to know about math.
Because it's sixth grade math. No, but for real though.
I'm teasing, Lucas. No, I know you know math, but you have never taught it before. I'm telling you, And this is, I had a similar experience teaching Bible to 9th and 10th graders. You know, being a Bible teacher at a church and being a Bible teacher for 9th and 10th graders at a Christian high school are two very different animals.
Oh, absolutely.
And being a person that knows math and studied math and being a 6th grade math teacher, very different things.
Well, yeah. And really, like, working with students in student ministry versus teaching, very different things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of, pullover, I'm not surprised by the kids that I'm working with and all of these things, but I'm also like, there's just a difference. It's a huge, there's just a difference in what you're doing.
And you had the advantage, I think, of going from Mission OKC to a charter school is a little more of a parallel move than my experience of going from working with kids at youth camp and at youth group at, you know, very pretty conservative churches, pretty middle class churches, that not a very broad cultural base in the churches I served, then going to not a very broad cultural base at a private school, but as far as the level of interest in spiritual growth or learning the Bible, you got kids that just could not care less about what you're teaching them. Whereas the kids that couldn't care less usually just wouldn't come to youth group.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, we didn't have a lot of kids that were forced to come to youth camp and youth group. Of course, a lot of kids were at youth camp for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, other than to learn about the Bible. But the motivation level is what was a shock to me. You know, I went to teach the Bible at a school and kids could not care less. I don't know why I was shocked, but I was. You've had a little bit more of a lateral move as far as.
Yeah, just I think the
behaviors and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going from inner city to inner city. Like, it's still, it's just the same level of, socioeconomically. I went from more of a heavily African-American part of town to a heavy Hispanic part of town. In fact, I don't know, it's close to 90% of our students are Hispanic. I have two kids in my class that actually speak no English.
Now, you did speak some Spanish before.
Sí, hablo español poquito.
Yeah.
I speak a little.
Yeah.
And it's enough to get by occasionally. But learning and speaking Spanish, speaking any language, typically the words you learn are based on where you're speaking that language.
Right.
I was speaking that language mostly at church, right? And singing, we would sing in Spanish. And so
Cristo,
I knew
te amo.
Yeah, sí, Cristo te amo. Sí, ala Dios. All of these things.
Recibes de Dios Cristo tu corazón. Or something like su corazón. You know, I can say some of those things.
Right.
I don't know Spanish at all, but I know some phrases.
Yeah, there's
from mission trips in church.
But you'll be surprised that none of this religious Spanish goes very well with math.
And
you
your
know?
Math class, you can't say that.
Yeah, I'm like, cuatro y cuatro está ocho. They already know that part.
They know that part. Yeah.
Anyway, so it's been an interesting transition. But I think coming in, I wanted to talk about a couple things, right, in this, and maybe just share more of my story in this moment.
Yeah.
Because I think obviously people listen, so they feel like they know us, and I know we know a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, we know a lot of you guys.
And we love you guys. And so, my dad is a youth or a worship pastor, and my whole life, we were at churches with my dad as a worship pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. And then from that, right out of high school, I began in ministry and started ministering and went into an internship became a youth minister. And then went to several churches, youth and worship ministry, youth ministry, and associate pastor, all of this. And I think at some point I hated going to church.
Mm.
And it was a real thing that it was just, I dreaded it.
This is your job.
Yeah, it was my job and I didn't really want to be there. And it had come to the point too where I was doing so much ministry, I felt like I wasn't really seeing my family as much. And it just was becoming this drag. And that's not what church is supposed to be.
No.
And that's not what ministry is supposed to be. And so I felt like I had been used up. And so we had started talking just Tori and I, and I think you and I talked about it, and just with several people, and
Well, then you mentioned in the last podcast, which will air 2 weeks before this one, but you mentioned about being realizing that you were in depression.
Yeah.
Even back when you were in Tulsa, but I noticed that after you got to this point that you're describing now, then I even noticed it when I you know, when you were in Tulsa, again, like I said, I didn't have a lot to compare it to, but I noticed a difference that I could tell it was time for you to do something different. And I could tell that I was very happy to hear that you thinking about, you know, what are my options here? What is good for my soul, my family, my relationship with my wife, things like that.
Yeah,
so,
and my relationship with my Lord, you know, I think was
absolutely
the deal. So it came to this, and I just began to, like, because my whole life, right, like all I've ever wanted to be was in ministry. You know, like I had one season where I thought about becoming like a, going through the cybersecurity stuff, and it was because people that do cybersecurity make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I was like, that'd be really awesome, really really cool, and the Lord was like, no, that's not for you, and took away some of that skill. So, but I just my like really for years and like all of my work experience, right? Like I construction in this, so I was like, what do I even do with my life?
Right.
And so I kind of was talking to Chris Brewster, who's the superintendent and founder of Santa Fe South Public Schools, and I've worked out with him for years, good friend. And I was just mentioning I didn't know, and I was kind of wanting to look into something different. He's like, well, like, let me know. Like, I have maintenance positions. I have teaching positions. I've got this and this. Like, let me know what you would – we're interested in. We'll see what we can do, and we'll see if we have anything available. And so I mentioned to him – I called him back a couple months later because I was like, well, I want to explore and see, like, this would be like first time in my life I've ever like considered anything else. And so I waited and prayed and called him back. I was like, hey, like, what do you have? He's like, well, we're founding a school. And so this brand new middle school, he's like, the guys that are starting it are really awesome. I'd love for you to meet them and talk to them, just see. So we did and began there. But ultimately, like, I ended up back in teaching. First off, I just don't know what else to do with my life but hang out with kids, I guess.
Well, but did you suggest, hey, I want to teach math? Or did they say, hey, we think you'd be a good teacher? Can you do math? How did that conversation happen?
Yeah, so my first interview was a phone interview. So I just called and was talking with our principal and vice principal. And they were like, hey, yeah, Brewster really likes you and has talked you up. So we would love to meet you more. But like, we have a science position open, a math position, and reading. And so like, you can kind of... would any of those be a good fit? And I was like, well, first off, not science. First off, like, I never was like a fan of science in school. And second, like, what you're teaching in science, I don't really believe most of it.
So right.
As far as like the, you know, it took millions of years for this to happen. And I'm like, well, it's not my lane. And I don't really want to get there. So that's okay. So I left that one out. But I was like, but ultimately, like, my degree's in communication. So like, I'm good at speaking in front of people. But I've always enjoyed doing math in my head, and I enjoy reading. So like, I would enjoy either one of those. And our vice principal happens to be the math coach for the school. So he's over the department. And then our principal actually is originally a math teacher as well. And so that's where he was like, well, like, we've enjoyed talking to you. Like, if, you know, you're interested, then I'd love you in my department. So like,
okay.
So essentially, and what it's been is, don't worry if you don't know the math stuff yet. We can teach you the math part,
right? But
like, the teaching part, and just
relating to the kids and getting, you know, seeing when you're communicating, figuring out how to motivate them, i.e. Skittles.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, I mean, I walk in this house, I never have candy. There's candy everywhere.
Okay. The only candy for me to take to school is I took one this morning, actually. They're 54 ounces. Anyway, I've got several multi-pound.
Giant jars of Skittles.
Yes.
I've never seen this.
Skittles are the best, like.
Where do you get those? Costco? Sam's?
Sam's. Sam's, yeah.
Sam's Club.
Yeah, they are. It's like $10 for this big old jar, and it's probably, I don't know how many, like 1,000 Skittles in there. It's great because kids work very hard for one single Skittle.
Yeah, so, well.
But ultimately, right, like I came back around, and one of the things, like we, you know, love for the subject and love for students, like that's the big deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing that drew me, right? I'm leaving vocational ministry, but ultimately, like I've been able to do more ministry now, I think, and like, I can't like directly like let me pray for you right here and now for these students, but
right.
I've had students talk to me about things that in all my years of youth ministry they'd never come forward to talk to me about. You know, wow. As the teacher, I'm teaching for 2 months well, now. I've been able to reach people and like I work with lost people now.
Yeah.
You know, like I have actual coworkers.
Let me say this to you, and I don't know if you've thought about this. I'm sure you have. It occurred to me a couple of years. Into teaching, I think, or really hit home at least a couple of years into teaching, you know, that when I was working in the church, I would see kids once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And I wasn't their youth pastor usually. Normally, I was a youth pastor a couple of seasons, brief seasons, but usually I was their worship pastor, or I was, you know, I was one of the adults at camp, you know, mm-hmm. doing worship or just being with the guys, and so I would see them, you know, just brief periods of time. When you have students at school, you see those kids every day. How many people in your life do you see look in the face for 40 to 50 minutes 5 days a week? Not that many humans in your life will you, and you get to have that relationship. You know, I figured in my tenure, it was about 100 kids a year.
Yeah, that's where, so I have roughly 75 sixth graders that I get 90 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And that's,
I mean, that's that right. Is something.
Yeah, I mean, that the amount of impact is crazy. The amount of impact that you can have. And I think that's like, but again, I'm with 75 sixth graders. And I mean,
it's not one-on-one time. It is not maybe quality time, but you know what? It's impactful.
No, time. Absolutely. It's time that like those kids can know they're loved, right? That's and for exactly some of right. them, the only time that they may know it, right?
Yeah,
is there. And I work with a great group of teachers, and a lot of them of the faith, but that legitimately yeah. love these kids.
Yeah,
and that's been the deal. And I think like a calling. Just to love people and to like what we're doing there, right? As we're giving and bringing education to kids that a lot of people have given up on, and are, you know, getting to high school with like a second grade reading level. And we're trying to, and successfully for a lot of them, bringing them up. And like, I have kids that come in like a kindergarten math level, and we're raising them up, you know, and bringing them up, trying to get them to their grade level so they can right. succeed. But it is like, the only path out of poverty for them is education.
It's right? knowledge. Like, it's education.
They have absolutely. To know these things. And ultimately, like, they need Jesus, right? That's their main need. But I think like, we see Jesus fulfilling these other needs too and telling us to love the orphan absolutely. And the widow. Like, and so it's this grand opportunity to follow Jesus by loving yeah. these people well. And and I yeah. think, again, like teaching them math, it's obviously a side gig to loving them well like Jesus, but it's pretty good side gig too.
I mean, you know, Jesus is, and I don't think I'm grasping at straws here. I don't think I'm over spiritualizing. Jesus is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're giving someone education, you're giving them a piece of the creator of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made math.
No,
and they can. I tell you what, some of the greatest theologians have been mathematicians.
I was
because he reveals himself in 1 + 1 = 2, and in
yeah, and just that like
quantum
no
theories
one,
or whatever.
No one created math; it's discovered.
It is discovered.
That's something that I think is just really cool to me.
Some people see the face of God in that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for the kids, it's cool for me to be able to be like, well, why does this work this way? And I'm like, well, because we found it like that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like
the way it is.
No one decided 1 + 1 = 2. Like, we started out with math like this. I pick up, you know, I have a rock and another rock. Like, that's one rock and two rocks. And then if I add three, it's the third rock. And if I add three rocks plus, I'm like, God, like, no one decided. Obviously, God decided that, but no human, like, decided that that's how math should work, or they didn't decide how math should work.
We decided what to call it.
Yeah, we decided a name, just like Adam decided the name of a flamingo, except for I'm sure he named it in Hebrew or whatever language Adam spoke, but still, you know, like, just, anyway, I just find it interesting. Right. Yeah. And like you said, a beautiful picture of the creator right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how much time do we have?
I don't know, you have that.
I don't know. We are pretty much done here. But I'll just say this, I guess. Maybe we ought to talk again about what is that decision like? What is the experience like of hearing from God, I'm going to change this about my life? You talked about sort of the emotional side of that and how God led you through that. But I think it'd be cool maybe to talk about this experience, hearing from God and saying, okay, this is the direction I want you to walk. Next time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be a good next time or sometime we're going to talk about that. Cause I think that it brings us, you know, we've sort of gotten to hear this story of how you got there, and it's exciting. And I know it's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy, but, yeah, we need to talk about that side of it.
Yeah.
Also,
that'd be great
at some point. So, do we have a minute of culture?
I have a minute of awkwardness. So, okay. Right before we recorded, Phil and I went to pick up the pizza so we could eat he ate with my family tonight. So here, maybe this is some curmudgeonry in it because like every
it's cash, just you being very awkward, Lucas.
Every cash register now, you put your card in, right? And then it asks you like, do you want a tip? So if I'm at like a sit down restaurant, I go ahead and tip 20%, whatever it is. But I'm at a pizza place. Like you're just putting my pizza in my hands.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's not really service.
And so I ask every time I'm at a place like this, and usually the person just kind of giggles and is like, oh, whatever.
Doesn't matter. No, it's okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
She did not.
No. So I ask, I'm like, do you know, like, I don't ever know what to do here. Like, am I supposed to tip you? Or, like, is there, like, a recommended amount or what? And she just, like, stares at me.
And Lucas she's like, just kept saying, I don't know. He kept...
Yeah, I was like, I don't really know what to do here. So, like, do you know? And she just, like, is, like, staring at me.
And the guy behind you is laughing his rear end off.
So I ended up just awkwardly tipping $2 because I'm like, I don't feel like this is an 18% type amount of service.
No, I don't think it was. No, not at the pizza place.
You literally just handed me pizza. But yeah, the guy behind me laughing because I'm just like, I feel like for her, maybe she's like, just hit the button in front of you. So,
right.
You know, and give me my money.
Yeah, right.
And
give me my money.
Do enough job for me to feel like I need to give you that much money, you know? And like, it's just.
I think that's curmudgeonry. I changed my mind. Not just awkwardness, it's awkwardness and curmudgeonry.
But it was. Okay, so I've been asking that question probably since high school that I, at these cash register places like this, this is the first time it's ended like this. So. Be better.
I'm the guy. Oh, I don't want any trouble, so I just always tip the lowest amount. Although I will occasionally at like the bagel shop, where literally they're just handing me a mug for my coffee.
Right.
I'll hit no tip.
Yeah, I think I usually just try to take that and make it a positive interaction for both of us. I'm still gonna give you a small tip. We can both laugh about this. No, we both walked away feeling worse. Feeling much worse.
No, it was awesome. It was very entertaining for me and the guy behind you.
I'm glad that you and the other guy enjoyed it.
Great, but I do have one final thing to say. And whatever that ad was, maybe we should say that again. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on this adventure with us today. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please send those over to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Or
what is it again? Second Breakfast?
Second Breakfast 777 @gmail.com. There's no Lucas and Phil in
it. No Lucas and Phil. I'm 80s. Thank you. Be good.
Bye-bye.